Well, good morning. I had decided last time I did an exhort here that the next time I would do a fresh one. Then Brother Vic asked me to do it this week instead of several weeks' time, so I've reused one again. So next time, hopefully, I'll write you a fresh one. Sorry? Conveniently, I've had one based on Luke chapter 9, which is next week's reading, and that's why we've taken Luke 9 as the reading this morning. It's based on some dialogue between Jesus and a certain man. At the end there, in verse 57, we don't know anything more about this man other than he was a certain man. So hopefully this will serve as a reminder to us of the commitments we have made and what we're like at keeping them. So verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." So the man here is obviously very impressed by the way that Jesus walks and talks. He sees that here is someone special, someone who has the ability to change the lives of others and to make a difference in the world. And because of this, he has a desire to be part of it. We have all seen and heard of these things and have made the same statement. That is what our baptism is all about. I will follow you wherever you go. So how good are we at doing this? Do we know where Jesus went? I know that I frequently lose sight of where he goes. How do we follow somebody that we can't actually see? And I think that most of the time the problem is that we're actually like this other man of verse 61. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house." Yes, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go and do such and such first. But no, it doesn't actually work like that. It can't work like that. To actually follow Jesus, we have to keep our focus on him all the time. If we go off and do something else, we'll lose our focus and possibly lose sight of Jesus altogether. The easy path is long and straight and easy to follow. The path to life along which we follow Jesus is narrow and windy. And so if we deviate from it, we may never find our way back again, or it'll take us too long to catch up, and we'll discover that the end was just around the corner, but we're too far behind and we're not going to make it through the gate. Our commitments to following Jesus have to be absolute. There can be no ifs or buts. But we do know this, or at least knew this when we said, "I will follow you wherever you go." But we also knew that we wouldn't really be very good at it. But that is not an excuse not to try. At the end of the day, Jesus told us that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Peter reminds us of this in his second epistle, chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We have to try our best to follow the example of Christ. Back in Luke, we read in the next verse that Jesus was always on the move. He didn't have a permanent place to stay. Jesus said unto them, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus knew that he was not of this world. John chapter 8, verse 23, he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." Now, I'm not very good at this. I'm an Englishman. most of you Kiwis, we very easily associate ourselves with our place of birth and then often forget what it is we're aiming for. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So looking beyond Jesus, what do we see? Where are we following him to? The path is narrow and windy. Where does it lead? If we lose sight of the end, how do we keep up our enthusiasm to get there? We need to keep in the front of our minds at all times the plan that God has for the earth, and with those who want to stay on it and do his will. How often do we think of the kingdom and what it will be like? Do we think of living forever until it starts to hurt our mortal brains? We should look forward to the time of joy that will be held on a perfect, healed earth. Isaiah chapter 35. Verse 1, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." We know people who have these infirmities of the flesh. Do we think of the time when they too will be healed? Verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Are we at all enthused by these images? If not, then how do we expect to stay the course? If the end of the road is not appealing, then surely we're not going to go down it. We constantly need to have both Jesus and the kingdom of God in our sights, following the example of Jesus down that narrow, winding road to the kingdom of God, which we can see at the end. Jesus managed to stay the course because he knew what was coming. He knew that after all the pain and suffering, that God would give him all power and authority, and that sometime after, he would be re-establishing the kingdom of David on the earth. We too have been given this view of the end so that we are able to walk with confidence. The next verses in Luke seem to be talking about our priorities. Verse 59. "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom." Preach the kingdom of God. How often do we get our priorities right? Does God come first? It's the same that I talked about earlier. "Yes, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go and do such and such first." We have to put God first and give him all of our mind, body and soul, as the law put it. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." In order to show our love to God most effectively, we need to surrender everything to him and rely entirely upon him. David talks a lot about this in the Psalms, and Solomon talks about it in the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We have no inherent knowledge of the right things to do. God, however, does, and is willing to teach us if we give him the opportunity. the guidebook for the path that we are taking was written by him. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is our only source of information on the character of God. If we do not know God, then we have no reason to depend upon him. Knowing the character of God from the scriptures helps us with two things simultaneously. Firstly, it increases our love for him. And second, it helps us with trying to reflect it. Jesus read and knew his scriptures so well that it was his answer to every trial that was put before him. It is the only defence that we too have against the trials that we face. We must therefore make it a priority to glean all the information that we can from the Word of God so that we're able to make God the most important thing in our lives. The cycle needs to be upwards, not downwards. As we read the Bible less, so God becomes less of a priority in our lives. The more we read the Bible, the greater the priority that we give to God. Our objective is to make him the number one priority, as Jesus did. And it's now with these things in mind that we come to the time where we remember the point at which Jesus surrendered his life completely to God, even though it caused him great personal suffering and pain. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In this week to come, let us remember to fulfill the will of God, whether that's the easy option or the hard option, basing those decisions on what God has told us that he desires from us.